Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. I invite you to follow along with me here as we read these words from Colossians, again, chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 6. So follow along as I read aloud these words from the book that we love. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Stop there. Amen. I'm going to ask that you do something for me this morning. If you would, in just a moment here, would you turn to a neighbor, and I'm going to ask you to share with them what was the very best gift that you have ever received. It could have been maybe from Christmas. It could have been maybe from your birthday. It could have been some other situation or scenario. But what is the best gift that you have ever received, so much so that you were as excited as this guy was to receive this gift? On his 9th birthday, opening up a present that was a signed basketball from the Boyden Hall Comet basketball team. What gift made you that excited? So here's what I'm going to have you do. Turn to a neighbor, share with them, and what gift not only made you so excited, but what was that gift, and why was that so exciting? So you're going to share that with each other. I'm going to give you 30 seconds each. I'll interrupt to have you switch 30 seconds in. Go. All right, that's 30 seconds, so if you haven't switched, time to switch. 30 seconds for the other person, go. All right, I need to start bringing you back. 30, keep it even, 30 seconds for each person. Maybe you wrapped up, but I sense a little bit of excitement. Could you testify any of you were as excited as that 9-year-old who got a signed basketball from all of his heroes on the basketball court? Yes? Anybody? Anybody as excited about that? So hopefully you're able to share just a little bit about these gifts. Now, I'm going to ask you to do one other thing. I'm not going to have you talk this time, but I'm going to have you think about something. I want you to think about that gift that you were so excited about. The best gift you've ever gotten, maybe for Christmas, maybe for your birthday, maybe for something else, and you just shared with your neighbor about that gift, something that was so great for you. I want you to think about now, where is that gift? Maybe some of us still have it, and it still brings about the same amount of excitement and joy. Maybe some of us still have it, but it's maybe not quite as enthralling as the first moment when we open that package. Or maybe some of us were told that we had to get rid of the gift. And we had looked for this gift for this sermon illustration, but then remembered about a year ago, someone who we love so dearly said, it's time to get rid of these things. And your gift, too, is at the bottom of a landfill somewhere. Just give me a second here. I do love you. So where's that gift now that we were so excited about? Take a look at verse 6 with me in your passage. Leave your Bibles open. Always have them open as we study here. Here's what verse 6 says. The Apostle Paul is saying, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. See, the Apostle Paul writes to these believers in Colossae, and he says, you've gotten this great gift. You have received a wonderful gift. You have received the gift of Jesus. And you didn't just receive Him, but you received Him as Lord. You received Him as your master. You received Him as the one under whose authority you submit yourselves to. He is your Lord. You've received this great gift. And the word therefore receive indicates that they have not only received the person of Jesus, but they've received the authoritative teachings of Jesus. This is a precious and wonderful and valuable gift. You received Christ Jesus as Lord. How exciting must this have been for those believers in Colossae? How exciting must it have been for them to hear about the life of perfect obedience lived by Jesus? How exciting it must have been for them to learn about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. How exciting must it have been for them to discover the death-defying, grave-defeating, eternity-altering resurrection of Jesus. And how exciting must it have been for them to realize, to have been told, that when they receive this gift of Jesus, when they accept this good news of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that their sins could be forgiven and their eternity could be secure in heaven. How exciting must this have been for them? Could we dare say perhaps it was even more exciting than the gift we were talking about with our neighbors just a moment ago? Maybe some of us can relate to this. When was it for us when it clicked? When was it for us when this good gospel news of Jesus, His life, His work, made sense to us? And we received it as our good news. We received Jesus Christ as the Savior of our souls and the Lord of our lives. Maybe for some of us here today, that was a moment in time. And even now as I talk about it, we can flash back to that date and to that location and to that situation when we received Jesus Christ as Lord. And maybe for others of us, it wasn't just a moment in time, but it was a realization, a gradual process that this Jesus that we had heard about once or twice or 100 different times, when we began to realize that this Jesus is the one in whom I put my faith in. Or perhaps even for some of us, this is that moment. That there is no time like this time to put our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ. As we are hearing about this morning, that our God loves each one of us so very much that even though we are sinners and we continue to turn away from God, God continues to turn back to us. God continues to turn to us, and He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to us. He sends the gift of Jesus, His life, His death, His resurrection to us, so that if we would put our hope in Him, so that if we put our trust in Him, if we put our faith in Jesus, the old life of hurt and pain and frustration is gone forever, and a new life of hope and joy and peace is ours for all of eternity. May the Holy Spirit be at work, even amongst us right here this morning at Westview, leading each of us to receive the gift of this Jesus. Paul reminds the Colossians of the fact that they have received Jesus. And then he says this in verse 6. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Another way of saying it, continue to live your lives in Him. Or as we're going to say it this way today, remain in Him. And we're going to say it that way because the phrase there for continue to live in Him comes from one of my favorite Greek words, not only in concept, but also to say. And I assure you, I have already taught you this word sometime in our journey, because this is such a great Greek word. So I'm going to throw it here up on the screen, if we can have it on the screen here this morning. Do you recognize that word? Remember it? I'm not sure why all the little dots come. Those dots underneath there aren't supposed to be there, but the rest of it's supposed to be there, right? Do you recognize this word? Anybody remember it? Want to say it out loud? Yeah, you? No? No? Barry, yes? You got it. Okay, very good. Let me say it again, and maybe it will recall something. The word is peripateo. Does that ring a bell? Okay, my little stupid little joke is not party potato, peripateo. All right? Everybody say that with me. I probably made you say it years ago as well, but I'm going to have you say it again. Ready? Peripateo. Very good. One more time. Peripateo. If we don't remember this word yet, perhaps we'll remember it from this. Here's what peripateo means. It means to walk. Does that ring a bell? It means to walk. And the concept behind peripateo is that where one spends their days walking is where one spends their days. And so not only is it translated as to walk, but it is often translated as to dwell or to live or to remain. In fact, some translations of the Bible really bring this out. The one I read from says continue to live in Him. But some translations say, so walk in Him. Meaning you've received this great and exciting gift of Jesus Christ with joy and gladness and wonder. So now live your life in His way. Now walk in Him. Now let the steps of your life fall under His authority and go where He leads. Now remain in Him. There's an urgency to Paul's writing here in this verse. We don't necessarily see it right away. We maybe don't even feel it. But the word here, when Paul says, now continue to live in Him, that's an imperative. It's a command. He's urgent about this. He wants these Colossians to feel this, to need this. And why Paul wants the Colossian Christians to continue to remain in Jesus, to remain locked in on Jesus Christ, that reason isn't initially clear, but once we see it, we get it. Because the same concern is swirling around us today, friends. The church in Colossae, right? The Christian believers here in Colossians, that church was under attack. It was under attack by false teachings and erroneous philosophies and unbiblical priorities that were threatening the church and threatening the very being of a Christian and threatening the way of a witness of the Christian faith. Paul uses terrifying language in verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive. The word there for captive literally means to kidnap, which is a horrifying thing. And I pray that none of us ever have to experience such a thing. The word is often used in reference to slave traders who are carrying off a conquered people. Paul's saying, see to it that no one takes you captive. No one kidnaps you. Do you understand? Do we understand here how high the stakes are for Paul? He's saying, brothers and sisters in Colossae, brothers and sisters here at Westview, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, keep walking in His ways. Continue to live your lives in Him. Remain in Him so that these hollow and deceptive philosophies don't steal you away. So that these vain and empty teachings that are of the world, that are of human tradition, of the basic principles of this world, they can be awfully seducing. Don't let them seduce you. So that these teachings of trickery and deceit are going to try to abandon you, to abandon the way of Jesus Christ. Don't let them get you off course. Don't let them take you captive, because these teachings have no foundation in Scripture. But they're promoted by people with loud voices and strong personalities. speaking the same message over and over again, loud enough and often enough and forceful enough that it starts to slowly wear away. You ever have that where you hear the same thing over and over and over and over and over again and you know it's not true, but then you get that one little thought that says, but what if it's true? And that is that first step down a dangerous, slippery slope. And for the Colossians, this false teaching that is swirling about them, cut to the core of their Christian faith, the false teaching was this promotion of this idea that there were other heavenly intermediaries rather than Jesus Christ. That's fancy language to say that there's other ways to get to God than through Jesus. And it called into question. It said, you might need more than just Jesus Christ to get to God. That was a false teaching that's swirling around the church here today. That's why we started this morning with the verse that said, salvation is found in no one else than the name given to people by which they must be saved, the name of Jesus. Because false teachings are still alive today, friends. 2,000 years later, after this has been written, false teachings still surround. And sometimes even that same message that was battling the Colossian church. But we know it's not the only deceptive message out there, yes? And so like the church in Colossae, we too today, we have to be all the more aware of those wolves that are dressed like sheep's clothing. They look gentle, they look nice, they look so peaceful on the outside and like they're here for our good, but inwardly they're trying to seduce us and mislead us and actually move us off the will and the way of Jesus Christ. We know these teachings, don't we? Teaching that power and might is to be glorified and pursued above all else. When Jesus teaches about humility and service, teaching us that privilege and entitlement is some sort of God-given right. When Jesus is about sacrifice and about putting the needs of others ahead of our own. Teaching that there is one nation, one people group that is better than others when Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Friends, we have to be oh so careful about what we are taking in, what we are consuming, what we are allowing to influence us, what we are allowing to influence our way of thinking, what we are allowing to influence our way and our understanding of Jesus. Let's stop for a minute and ask ourselves, what is shaping our thoughts? What is shaping our understanding? What are we allowing to shape our understanding, our faith in Jesus Christ? Who are we getting our information from? That information that then sits in our brains and then we spew out of our mouths. Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than that of Christ. See to it that we are being filled with the teachings about Jesus, His life, His death, His resurrection. See to it that we are being filled with the teachings of Jesus, His teachings of love, of grace, of compassion, of mercy, of wholeness, and of restoration. See to it that we remain in Christ. This is Paul's urgent command to these Colossian believers. Just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Walk in His ways. Remain in Him. Because you are rooted in Him. You are built up in Him. You are strengthened in Him. Those are the first three of four actions that are found in the very next verse, part of that same sentence. And those three are set apart from the fourth one because those three are a little different. Those three actions in verse 7 are all found in the passive verb of the Greek. Now, what does that mean? what the passive verb means, right? A verb is an action word. A passive verb means that the action is being done to the individual rather than the action being done by the individual. Does that make sense? It's being done to them. And so when Paul writes here, you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so remain in Him. They were in Him. You were rooted in Him. That means that God has rooted you. When you're in Christ, God has rooted you like a tree that has roots that go down to be strengthened and to be nourished, roots that allow you to stand strong like an anchor when the false winds and of teachings blow, right? A root that received nourishment and we can grow in depth and knowledge. God has rooted you. Not only that, but God has built you up. The image here is of a house that is standing upon a firm foundation, standing strong, standing sturdy because their foundation is solid and secure. And it goes on to say, and you've been strengthened. God has strengthened you in the faith as you were taught. And the word here for strengthened, it means an inner strength. And so we're not just talking about like a six-pack abs or bulging muscles, but we're talking about an inner peace, an inner confidence, an inner assurance because we know who we are in Christ. These are the workings of God to those who receive Jesus Christ. They are rooted. They are built up. They are strengthened, right? Paul is assuring these Colossians, this is what happened to you when you received Jesus. You were rooted, built up, and strengthened. And the good news for us today is this. When you and I, when we receive Jesus, God does the same work within us. He roots us in the Word. He builds us up and He strengthens our inner resolve. So that we might, as Paul says, so that we might remain in Christ. That we might live our lives in the way of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Which looks like what? Want to know what that looks like? Well, that's the final action in verse 7. Because that action is an active verb. That means it's being done by the party itself. The one who has received Jesus Christ, the one who is remaining in Jesus Christ, this is what they do themselves. They have been rooted. They have been built up. They have been strengthened so that we don't be taken captive, so we're not being taken captive by that false teaching. But those who remain in Christ overflow with thankfulness. Friends, you want to know what a life looks like of someone who knows Jesus, of someone who loves Jesus, someone who is walking their daily, weekly, monthly, yearly steps in the way of Jesus? We want to know what a life looks like of those who remain in Christ. Look for those who are overflowing with thankfulness. Look for those who are grateful. For they know they have received everything they need. They know that anything they could ever need is found in Jesus Christ. Paul has a great verse in verse 9 where he says that, you know, in Christ we find the fullness of the deity, this divine nature of Jesus. But then that sentence goes on in verse 10 and it starts out by saying, and you. Who's he talking about? He's saying, and you. You who received Christ as Lord. You who are being urged to remain in Him. You who are being urged to walk your steps in Jesus. You who have been built, rooted and built up and strengthened so you can ward off the false teachings and doctrines. And you, Paul says, you have been given fullness in Christ. The one who is the head over every single thing, every single power, every single authority. You have been given fullness in Christ. Do you hear that? Fullness in Christ. Would you say it with me just like that? Fullness in Christ. Let's say it again. Fullness in Christ. How incredible a statement that is. How powerful. How beautiful. Listen to it again. And you have been given fullness in Christ. Are we grasping, are we appreciating what Paul is saying here in those few words? He's saying that you and I who receive Jesus Christ, you and I when we put our hope, when we put our trust, when we put our faith in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have been given fullness in Christ. The word means complete. You are complete in Jesus. And so that means nothing else is needed. Nothing else is necessary. Nothing else is required. Nothing else that we so often chase over in our days. Nothing else that the world tells us that we need, you know, wealth and riches and power and reputation and control. Nothing else. When we have Christ, we have all we need. You have been given fullness in Christ. You know what that reminds me of? It sounds a lot to me like our vision here at Westview. I'd love for you to read it with me. I know it's there on the screen. Would you read it with me? Start with creating. Ready? Creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. Creating space. This is what we're about here at Westview. We are about creating both physical and spiritual space for ourselves and for our community to find rest. To find what we say is that identity, to find that hope, to find that peace, to find that wholeness, to find that fullness in Christ. That's what we're about. That's a message that I will never get tired of proclaiming, and I hope that the same is true for you as well. What a gift that is. What a gift that is. I would dare say that is a gift that brings even greater joy and certainly longer lasting joy than any one of those gifts we talked about earlier this morning. Fullness in Christ. Complete in Jesus. And if that is true for us, if we are complete in Jesus Christ, then how could we not, friends, overflow with thankfulness? And so my friends here at Westview, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Remain in Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we have named it several times already today, but we want to proclaim it once more. Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is an incredible gift. We thank You, God, for His life. We thank You for His death. We thank You for His resurrection that has paved the way for our sins to be forgiven and for our eternity to be secure. God, we pray that we would indeed overflow with thankfulness and gratitude as we continue to walk in His ways. And we know that this is difficult. Maybe it's even impossible for us to do that on our own. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, we would ask that You would fill each and every one of us every moment of every day to have the courage and the boldness and the resolve to walk in step with our Savior, to find our rest in Him and in nothing else, and to live that joy-filled life knowing that in Christ we have all that we need, for we are complete in Him. May that be so, God. God, we also name this morning that it is a privilege for us as a faith community to join our hearts together as one in prayer for the needs that are around us and to give praise for the joys amongst us. So we ask that You would indeed hear our prayer this morning. We pray for Denny as he began treatments this past week. We ask that these treatments would be effective in ridding the cancer from his body, and we pray that You'd protect him from side effects during this time. We pray for Harlan as well, and we know that health has been a struggle for him recently. And God, we would ask for relief from pain and relief from discomfort, and that Your grace would be abundant for him. And God, for other health concerns that we maybe have prayed for in the past and are continuing, or new ones that we don't know about, or those that just haven't been mentioned this day, we lift them to You. We know that You have a healing hand, and we ask that Your hand would be at work. Along with that, God, would You heal hearts and souls. As we pray this morning, continue, Holy Spirit, to bring more to receive the gift of Jesus Christ, that maybe even this worship service is that moment where we receive this incredible gift. God, we pray that You would bring healing to our relationships. You would bring healing to our homes. God, we ask that You'd bring healing to our communities. God, we ask that You'd bring healing certainly to our nation that is ever so divided. And even as we talked about last week, may reconciliation, the restoration of parties, may that begin right here within the church, but also may that begin through the church. May our light shine bright as the way to unity and to peace. Lord, we also pray that You would hear our prayers for the many different things happening in the life and ministry of Westview here, whether it's classes or connection events or retreats or small groups or all the other ways that we are living together as disciples of Jesus. Continue to grow us closer to You, that we might indeed abide in You, remain in You, walk in Your ways, live our lives in You. And God, we would ask that anything we ever do, it would always and only be for You and for Your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.